Ladies and gentlemen, today is day one and day end. It's the Alpha and Omega day of the Chaos of our one-day fun drive. So it's the end of the year, and we are giving you the opportunity to make that last tax-deductible contribution to KSFR. So we are asking you that if you listen to KSFR, and if you haven't contributed yet this year, give us a call at 505-428-1393 and make a contribution to the station. We love putting this radio station together every day. We love serving the public in this way. I certainly do, and I know everybody else does too. And we are told on a fairly regular basis that we do a pretty good job. And if you want to support the job we do, we are a non-commercial station, and so we are what you call a listener-supported community station. Listener-supported community stations need their listeners, and if you are a listener and you like it, give us a call and support us. 505-428-1393. We've got a couple of good things coming up for you. This is full disclosure, ladies and gentlemen. Yesterday, I had a segment where I had pre-recorded somebody, and something went horribly wrong with sound editing, and I played a like 7-minute garbled segment, and I want to apologize publicly for that. And I also want to play the actual ungarbled segment with Anthony Novak, who's a wonderful singer-songwriter. So we're going to go to that in a moment. But first, we'd like to get one phone ringing, 428-1393, 428-1393, and let us know that you support KSFR. Times are tough. I know this. You know this for a lot of people. And so if you can make, for example, a $5, $10 contribution a month or $15 contribution a month, we would be so grateful. We want it to be easy on your pocketbook, but when everybody contributes, then it adds up. 428-1393, 428-1393. And if you can make just a one-time contribution of, let's say, $20, $25 or more, anything that you give, we are very grateful for. We've got a great movie coming up, an interview with a director who made a movie that's opening at the CCA about, believe it or not, Elmo the Muppet. It's about the creator of Elmo. Now, I was never the world's biggest Muppet fan, but this movie is incredible, and we're going to be talking to you, the director of it, in just a moment. But first, let's hear from Anthony Novak.
Treating me like wine, I treated you like the hardest kind of whiskey. Tell you that I'm doing fine, you tell me all the time that you miss me. You never look before you cross, you're busy getting lost, looking for something you thought you saw. No one is there, you're alone and you're scared. And I suggest you get out of the road. We suggest you get out of the road.
Listening to the music of Anthony Novak from his debut album called One of Another. We're listening to the song Between You and Me. Anthony Novak is a guitarist and vocalist, and his debut album is being released at a party at Vanessi tonight at 9:30. Welcome, Anthony, to the Radio Cafe.
Hello, MC. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you. So your music is what would you call it, country-influenced, bluegrass, kind of a mix of genres.
Yeah, I'd say if I had to do it, I'd say folk, country, with a tinge of orchestral instruments is definitely influenced, especially on this album. I tried to focus a lot on strings, viola, violin, cello, bass, a lot of that to kind of support everything else. So that was kind of the main focus with this album.
So you wrote all the music, you play the guitar and sing, but you've also got a bunch of other players on it.
Yeah. We got a bunch of local musicians that are in the Santa Fe area to come play. A lot of studio musicians. Because I came down here by myself, basically. A producer brought me down here, so I didn't really...
Where'd you come from? Where were you living?
I came from New York City.
Uh-huh.
And I met this producer friend of mine, and he moved down here. And about a year later, he gave me a call, said, come down here, you know, I'll pay for everything. Let's do this for real. You know, get a good studio, you know, write a bunch of music. We get about 8 to 10 songs, and we'll get a bunch of, you know, musicians to play on it, and the best musicians to play on it. And, yeah, it was a really, really good experience.
And you're pleased with the result?
Yo, very, very much so. Yeah, it was kind of my first, like, very professional, like, studio setting that I've had. A lot of, you know, a lot of stuff before this, but really professionally done and stuff. So it was excellent. Yeah, I couldn't be more pleased with how everything turned out. It was great. Everyone plays on the album is just fantastic.
How did you get your start in music and guitar playing and songwriting? What's your story?
Well, I started playing when I was about 13, 14. My older sister, Amy, had a guitar, and I started playing around. And then started to take it a little more seriously around like 16, 17, started to get, you know, instructors, one in particularly that really led me in the right direction, really influenced me in the right way. And eventually ended up going to school for it, and then moved to New York to go to school for engineering. And while I was in New York for school, I was in a band too, and just getting more honed in on trying to write good songs, good progressive songs that, you know, came from me. And
did you have teachers who cultivated your songwriting creativity?
Yeah, absolutely. But I'd say most of it came from just, I don't know, just experiences, just friends, family, a lot family oriented, a lot of the songs. I think, I don't know, still when I write to this day, I think of them, and I'm writing like kind of for them amongst anyone else.
Nice.
So, yeah.
So you are playing tonight at 9:30 at Vanessi's.
That's right.
It's a CD release party for your disc One of Another. So what do we expect at the show? Are you going to be playing? Are you going to be hanging out?
Yeah, hanging out, playing about probably two-thirds of the album that we can.
Do you have some of your musicians there with you?
Some of them that played on the album. A lot of new ones, though, that we found since the album that are just amazing. So it'll be a 7-piece, including my sister, actually. My sister is flying down from Minnesota. That's where I'm originally from.
Uh-huh.
And singing with me. She sang a lot on the album, did a lot of the harmony and stuff with me. So she'll be coming down for it. And so there's me, her, a violist, cellist, bass, and a drum. So
how have you found the musical scene here in Santa Fe?
It's interesting. It's taken me a while to sink my feet into it. I feel like the first 6 months. I've only been here about a little under a year and a half. But now that I'm kind of starting to sink my feet into it, there's a huge community here that is really good. There's so many good musicians here. I feel like Santa Fe could use maybe a few more venues for musicians to play out, probably here and there.
Yeah.
But the musicians themselves, there's plenty of them. And everyone, most people that I've met that play music with seem to get it. Like, they get music pretty well.
Now, are you going to be playing live more once the album is out, or where do you go?
Yeah.
You got a disc, and then you
absolutely, yeah. This is kind of the first big oomph for us and this project, and for me to release this, have a big show, and then after the holidays, come back and really try to hit the live scene harder here, Albuquerque, hopefully regionally, eventually by spring. Yeah, so this is kind of the first big like push for this, considering it just got done and stuff. So, yeah, we're really excited. It's going to be good.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, keep your eyes peeled for Anthony Novak. He's a guitarist and vocalist, and once again, his debut album is called One of Another. And he's playing tonight, December 15th, at Vanessi here in Santa Fe at 9:30 in the evening. The website is anthonynovakmusic.com. Thank you so much for being with
Thank
us.
Thank you, MC. Yeah, it was great.
Hey, Mary Charlotte, are you there? I guess we, I'm not sure where she is, but I have some people to thank.
Ladies and gentlemen, hello. We're just welcoming Jason Silverman, who just came into the cafe. He is the film curator at the Center for Contemporary Arts, and we're going to be talking about a movie in a moment. But yes, thank yous. We have thank yous.
Dominique Massoud.
Yay!
And Elena Zachary called Mary Charlotte. She just wanted to express how much KSFR has stretched us here in the community. And she appreciates what you do and the information that you give that just helps her to keep growing in all ways.
Thank you.
Would like more original programming for 2012 because we just keep outdoing ourselves. And thank you also goes to Linda Prince, who loves and supports the station.
Thank you.
And Collected Works, our big supporter, who...
Yay.
They'll be presenting, you know, photographer Nancy Warren on her new book, Pueblo Dancing. She mentioned that.
Yeah, tonight at 6 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore.
And there's some others, I think, that are coming, but that's
Yay.
It for now.
Okay, so 428-1393 is the number, 428-1393, to make a contribution to KSFR. It's the end of year, one day and one day only, ladies and gentlemen. You're only going to have to hear this today. Fun drive, and Jason Silverman in the house.
Hi, Mary Charlotte.
It's great to have you here in the cafe in this cold, inch-thick frost on your windshield morning.
Yeah, but it's nice and warm at the Radio Cafe.
It is indeed, and the coffee is good, and so is the chai.
Yeah, I love how you warm up your chai with your little...
Yes, I have a
votive candle.
A candle tea warmer, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, so why should, Jason Silverman, people be making a donation right now and picking up the telephone?
We all live in Santa Fe because it is an extraordinarily special place, and what makes it special to me is the strong community that exists. And the strong community to me exists because there's people here like Mary Charlotte and all of the people at KSFR.
And Jason Silverman.
Who are committed to bringing us together and giving us all different kinds of stories that we hear from the mainstream media, which are generally stories about buying things and about alienation and KSFR.
And fear.
And fear. KSFR and the museum system here and CCA and Site Santa Fe and the opera and all of the great nonprofits that exist here are all about connecting people together and telling the kind of stories that we need to hear to grow as individuals. And I couldn't be more grateful for KSFR. I listen all the time. And I want to thank them at the end of the year with a gift, and I want to make sure KSFR and the Radio Cafe stay strong, because it would be a huge loss to all of us if it was gone. So I totally encourage everyone to pledge.
428-1393 is the number, and as you go about your Christmas shopping, maybe you could include KSFR in that Christmas list, just a little something. I mean, we ask for contributions within your means.
Yeah, if any of my friends are listening and they're thinking of getting me something fancy, just buy me, spend that money in my honor. Buy me a gift to a pledge to KSFR. That's where I want the resources to go.
Yeah, I mean, people talk about alternative gift giving, and there's the alternative gift market at the DeVargas Mall this weekend, which is a wonderful thing where people can make gifts to nonprofits and send a card to their loved ones in honor of that gift instead of accumulating more junk in our houses, which we tend to do. 428-1393 is the number. In the area code 505-405-428-1393. There's also a toll-free number, which is 1-866-907-5737. That's 866-907-KSFR. Let's get the phones ringing. 428-1393 and make that gift right now. We so appreciate it. And they're also, I mean, as we said when we started, it is the time where people start thinking about the tax season, and tax-deductible contributions are something that people want to make at this time of year, because it's like they think, oh, I haven't really made that big contribution yet. Let's do it now so we can deduct it in the tax year 2011. And so let's do it. 428-1393. Now, Let's move on to more important adult things like Elmo the Muppet. Elmo the Muppet is the star, actually he's the co-star of the documentary Being Elmo. The real star is Kevin Clash, who we're going to be talking about with the director of the movie in just a moment. Jason, how did you decide to put this movie at the CCA?
It's such a fun movie and such an inspirational movie. What did you think of the film?
I loved it. I loved it. I will admit that a little teardrop did fall from my eye here and there, mm-hmm. but it's basically a really uplifting, and I'm not much for cheese. I don't like cheese, but, I mean, cheesy movies. I like actual cheese, but this was not a cheesy movie. It was really fascinating.
It's a story about a man who discovered his dream at an early age, and he followed it.
Yeah.
And who can't learn from that? And plus, there's Muppets in it.
And his invention of Elmo the Muppet, but why should I talk about it when the director can talk about it? So let's go and hear Constance Marks. And while she is speaking, while I'm speaking with her, let's call the number. The number. The number is 505-428-1393, 428-1393, and make a little contribution to KSFR. Thank you so much. I'm delighted now to welcome to the program Constance Marks. She's an award-winning documentary filmmaker, and her new film is called Being Elmo. It's screening at the CCA right here in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So this is the story of someone named Kevin Clash, who nobody's heard of, but we know all about him. He's the puppeteer or muppeteer who is known for the character Elmo. And it's just fascinating. I mean, I have to admit, I was starting to watch it, and I thought, okay, a movie about a puppeteer, is this going to be interesting? It's riveting. How did you come to make this film?
Well, it was funny because my husband is a cameraman, and he was working at Sesame, and he came home from work one day with a recorded message from Elmo for our, at that time, very young daughter. And it suddenly dawned on me that there was somebody doing us a tremendous favor, and that Elmo does not exist on his own in the universe without somebody puppeteering him. And I became very curious, and I said to James, who is the man behind this character? And that's when he told me about Kevin. And Kevin and I arranged to have a lunch together because I was thinking this could be an interesting film. And we were basically off and running from that point forward.
Kevin is a kind of American success story. I mean, he comes from an African-American family in Baltimore, very modest means. How did he discover his gift as a puppet maker?
I think he just was passionate about doing this. He suddenly started gathering materials and building puppets at the age of 8. He even, as you'll see in the film, went into his father's closet and took part of his raincoat and made that into a puppet at the tender age of 8.
Right.
And I think he just was sort of obsessed with this passion for building puppets, and he would watch Sesame Street and perfect them and try to get them better and better. And he started to get noticed locally, and then one thing led to another. He had tremendous mentors his entire life. He had a very supportive family who helped him, you know, realize his dream, and he was extremely talented to boot. So all of those elements coming together, you know, created who we know as Kevin today.
I mean, to his parents' credit, you know, they didn't have enough money even to send him to New York from Baltimore. He dismantles his dad, cuts up his dad's raincoat. To their credit, they saw that the puppet that he made out of the coat was so good that this kid didn't need to be yelled at. He needed just his talent to be cultivated. And it made me think about this whole idea. I mean, most of us go through life and we figure out what we're going to do at some point, but there's some people who have a special calling and they become concert violinists or something like that. And this child, as much as any great musician or artist or whatever, had this calling toward puppetry. It's so fascinating.
I think that's absolutely true. And Kevin's family is remarkable, incredibly supportive and loving of anything that their children want to do, so much so that everybody on the film team really wanted to be adopted by the Clash family. We love his parents.
Yeah, we come to love them, too, just watching the movie. Let's talk for a moment about the show Sesame Street and the influence it had on African-American kids like Kevin Clash. I mean, that was the first time that people like Kevin saw themselves represented in a children's show.
Yes, that was a big deal, and we tried to really emphasize that in the film. I think he had been enjoying and watching Captain Kangaroo, Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, and that kind of thing, and then suddenly there was a universe on the television that he could relate to much more intimately.
How did he meet the puppet maker, the Muppet maker, Kermit Love?
Kevin met Kermit Love because he had seen Kermit on a television show called Call It Macaroni, and he begged his mother to help him find Kermit, and his mother tracked Kermit down in New York and was called. There were no answering phone machines back then, and she just kept calling until he finally picked up the phone, and he said, next time you're in New York, come on down. If your son is this passionate about, you know, this kind of thing, I'd be happy to meet him. And it was really because of Mrs. Clash helping him to be able to meet her.
And so then he goes to New York, and we see this. How did it come to be that this footage, I mean, the kid is in high school, and he goes to New York on a school field trip, and we actually see him going in. Who filmed that?
I know. Well, it took a long time to make this film, and we like to joke that we were there way back when Kevin was a teenager, but alas, it's not true. There was a television show that followed children doing interesting things around the world, and Kevin just happened to be one of the children that they followed at that time, and we were able to get our hands on the footage very luckily, because I understand that the masters were thrown away pretty recently.
Amazing. And in that moment, we see you watch the Muppet Show or Sesame Street or whatever, and you see these puppets talking, and you don't even think that there's people behind them. But in this segment, and in much of the movie that you made, being Elmo, we actually see the fur, the eyes, all the little pieces that get to be put together to make the puppets themselves. That itself is a whole world of craft.
We were so lucky that we were able to gain access to this really forbidden, here to now forbidden sort of aspect of the Henson legacy. We got behind the scenes and inside the workshop, and I think the footage you're referring to was from the few trips that we made to Henson, and boy, was that a privilege, because I don't think that happens too often.
Talk about Jim Henson. Again, we know him as the creator of the Muppets and so on, but it's hard to understand until you see a documentary like this, and even then, to really grasp what a great giant this man was in his field and how influential he was.
I know. I'm still coming to realize that every day. You know, it becomes clearer and clearer to me how many people were moved by this man, even if they were very young when he died. They say they remember it and how devastated they were. And to hear Kevin and the other puppeteers who worked with him describe him, they just say he was the best boss ever. I mean, if you were hired by him and were working there, they just had so much fun, and he respected you, and he just really, really, really created a situation in which a lot of silliness and play was very highly regarded as part of the day's work. So you can imagine what that must have been like.
Yeah, because I suppose it's a kind of work that if you put on your serious frown, you're never gonna get any product.
Yeah. And there's this terrific irreverence that, you know, these Muppets walk a very fine line between being serious, but there's also that Muppet edge, which the puppeteers know exactly where it is and when not to cross, you know, when they're crossing it and how not to cross it. But I think that's why it's so enduring and appealing, because it's not saccharine and it's not flat, and certainly that's the case with Elmo, and in particular when you see him improvising without a script. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's just some of the best comedy you'll ever see.
Well, there's this one, and I won't give it away, but there's this one part where he goes on the Arsenio Hall show, and I fell off the couch laughing.
Yeah, I know. He's just brilliant. And that was 2 weeks. You can see Jim, and that was 2 weeks before Jim Henson became very ill and was hospitalized and died very soon after that. So that was one of the last, I think it might have even been one of the last televised appearance that he made. Maybe mistaken, but that's my understanding.
Now, how did Kevin Clash come to work directly with Jim Henson?
Well, Kermit Love, who was his mentor, had him work on the Macy's Day Parade because I guess the Muppet movie had just come out, and there were two floats in the parade, one for Sesame and one for the Muppet movie, and they needed extra puppeteers. And Kermit arranged to have Kevin on the float, and it was after the float pulled in front of Macy's and all the puppeteers got off, they went up to a party in Macy's because he had been working. He was a very young man, and that's where he was introduced to Jim. And it's all explained in the film, and it's really touching.
I mean, this guy, Kevin, went straight from high school into the industry, and that must have been a really 18-year-old kid being with his lifelong idols, and he really just very slowly and shyly worked hard and made it.
Yeah, his talent is really incredible. The nuances that he, you know, gives into any puppet he puts on his hand, his voices, he's really in a class of his own, and there's no question that Jim Henson saw that from a very young age, and Kevin's such a delightful, polite and kind person that, I mean, who wouldn't want to work with him? That combination is just, you know, incredible.
I also didn't realize that, I mean, for somebody like him, he had multiple talents. He was a puppet sewer and engineer and a bona fide, if self-taught, actor.
He acted. He has the most, I mean, I sound like his agent, and I'm not. I mean, I don't have to be saying any of this, but he has the most gorgeous singing voice. You just can't believe it. And the funny thing is, when you see him make Elmo dance, Elmo has got all the moves down, and his sisters laugh because they say Kevin can't dance. So that's something that I'm trying to figure out. How can he not dance, but he can dance at the end of his hand, you know, the end of his arm? It's fascinating.
That's fun. I've met people who are incredible percussionists, and they can't dance. And you think, how can you do this with your hands but not your feet? But
it's funny.
So Kevin Clash developed the character of Elmo, and it was that fascinated me too, because this was, I don't want to give away the whole movie, but it was a puppet that somebody at Sesame Street said, I can't do anything with that. And Kevin just went through this process until he figured out how to put a character into that doll, which again is fascinating, because you think, which comes first, the character or the cloth puppet?
Yeah. To hear him tell the story, he just put it on and he used one of his voices that he felt would be right for it. You know, it's sort of an intuitive thing. And he just started being Elmo from day one. And, it's a lot of it is intuitive.
Well, it's a wonderful movie. It's called Being Elmo, and it's screening at the CCA. It's won lots of awards. This has been, all over the world at this point?
Well, we've had a great run. We started at Sundance last year. We premiered at Sundance, which was just such a thrill, and we won the special jury prize there. And we've been to lots and lots of film festivals since, and now we're enjoying our theatrical run. It's just been so much fun for us, and we're pinching ourselves.
It's a movie, I think, that transcends age, race, class, and any other divisions that might come between us, as this Elmo character himself does.
Absolutely. And, you know, we didn't make it for children. And I think the perception is that it might be a kid's film, or it's some kind of clawing thing about Elmo. And we find that adults are leaving the theater very moved. The response has been incredible. And we're happy to see families go, but it really wasn't made, you know, for children at all.
Before we go, tell our listeners why you think people should support KSFR right now by calling 505-428-1393. Why should they support Santa Fe Public Radio?
Because it's a place where you can go, where you can feel safe, and you can know what you're getting is clean and good and wholesome, and, you know, you're not going to be barraged with a bunch of stuff that you're going to have to eject out of your hard drive, your brain, at some other date if it's not indelibly stuck in there. So it's so positive, and it's so enjoyable. It's the only way to go.
And, of course, you've been working in at least partially, in public media at to some extent in your own work.
Working, you mean through working with Sesame Street?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's been unbelievable. I mean, I'm an independent documentary filmmaker, but dealing with Sesame has been incredible. They've been so supportive of the film and helpful, and it's just a magnificent organization. I can't say enough good things about their support and how much fun it's been working with them.
Constance Marks is the filmmaker of Being Elmo. She's an award-winning documentarist, and Being Elmo is screening here in Santa Fe. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Oh. Thanks for having us, and good luck with your drive. We love public radio, so good luck.
And you're listening to KSFR, the Santa Fe Radio Cafe, and if you haven't called yet, you can win. You can, would you call it win, Jason? You can
win.
Get a pair of film passes for the CCA, so in other words, two admissions to any film, including Being Elmo, including any other film at the CCA, by calling 428-1393. Ask the lovely people who answered the phone what the price is, and you will get, your name will be at the door at the CCA, and you can go see Being Elmo, or you can go see anything else you want.
That's right.
Thank you, Jason.
It's a pleasure.
428-1393. So, do we have some thank yous, Mary Lynn LeBlanc?
We do indeed. Actually, somebody who's very dear to us, Agnes Langdon, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, indeed.
And Patricia Lopez.
Thank you.
Bob Brady.
Yay.
Kent Kirkpatrick.
Wonderful, thank you.
And there's more coming.
And more coming. So let's get those phones ringing off the hook. We have surpassed the $600, $700 mark, somewhere in there, and we are trying for $1,500 this hour. So help us reach 1500 by calling 428-1393, 428-1393. And what your gift is this hour and only this hour is a pair of tickets to the CCA for a fairly modest contribution, 428-1393. You've got some other movies, Jason, coming up.
We do, yeah. Yesterday, the New York Times published their best of the year list, and the three of the films that were on their list were Weekend, which is now playing at the CCA, Melancholia, which is now playing at the CCA, and Into the Abyss, which is now playing at the CCA. And then we're opening Being Elmo, and we're going to talk about Chicago 10, which opens tonight as well.
Can I just say that this is a tribute to your excellent taste and foresight, Mr. Silverman?
Well, thank you.
Some people don't know that Jason Silverman is one of the treasures of Santa Fe, because not only is he a very good filmmaker, but he brings films to Santa Fe. We're very lucky here, and I think there's the Guild Cinema in Albuquerque, and there's the CCA and the Screen here in Santa Fe, there's the CCA and the Screen, and there are so many cities and towns in the United States where you just simply don't get these films at all, because what they require is not just like the standard fare coming out of Hollywood to the multiplex, but rather somebody looking at what has come out in independent film, in foreign film, in domestic film, in the United States, screening these movies, watching them, and then saying, okay, this will really be something that our audience loves.
Santa Fe is amazing for films. Per capita, it's the best movie town in the country, if not the world. I mean, we've got...
Really?
Oh, yeah, we've got 28 full-time screens here. We've got more titles per capita. I did my research on this, and, you know, we've got more titles per capita than New York City, than Boston, than Chicago. You have a better chance of seeing something here, and it's right around the corner, you know, between
right.
The Screen and Regal and the CCA. There's all kinds of options. You can see just about anything here.
And due to the laws of physics, it only takes a maximum of 15 minutes to get there from wherever you might be.
And we have audiences to support it, almost. So it's fantastic. So you can see all kinds of great things. Not to mention the festivals and the series and all kinds of other cool things that happen in the movie world here.
How did you start being a filmmaker and film curator?
I just kind of stumbled into it. I volunteered for a film festival right out of college, and I got hooked, and I met a filmmaker there who invited me to participate in his first film coming out of college, and I became a producer on that. We made another film, and then we started the Taos Talking Picture Festival, and one thing led to another.
And so you got hooked, and you got, I mean, the filmmaking, I guess, came after, well, they sort of happened simultaneously.
Until recently, I described myself as a recovering filmmaker.
Why? Because now you've lapsed?
I've lapsed. I'm a lapsed recovering.
Filmmaking.
Yes, exactly. The addiction. I've managed to stay away from it, stay on the wagon for 12 years, but I fell back into it.
And what are you making now?
I'm making a film called Semben, which is the story of the birth of African cinema, the story of a dock worker who broke his back and while he was recuperating decided to teach himself how to write and to write stories for Africa. And then he decided to teach himself how to make movies. And he did that for 40 years, became one of the world's great filmmakers.
Against all odds.
Incredible, yeah.
Unbelievable.
And what's interesting about Ousmane Sembène is he does the same kind of work that KSFR does, that all these other organizations that the CCA do. It's reclaiming stories, basically, because the kinds of films that we show at the CCA, the kind of media that you present, the exhibits and the performance that the other organizations present, they run in the face of the kind of the flood of mainstream images and storytelling that we get, which again are all about commodity, you know, they're all about selling things. And so for someone to stand up and say, hey, we want our stories back, is a really powerful thing. And that's what KSFR does every day.
428-1393 is the number, 428-1393. The toll-free number is 1-866-907-5737. 1-866-907-KSFR. And let's check in with Mary Lynn in the control room. How are we doing? Mary Lynn in the control room seems to be checking on how we are doing. So she's not there right at this moment. We'll get an update in just a minute. Now, you have chosen to bring back a film called The Chicago 10, which we actually did an interview about when it was last at the CCA in approximately, late 2008. And you're bringing it back. Why?
It's part of the Site Santa Fe Agitated History film series that we do in conjunction with Site Santa Fe. That's another great thing about this town, is that all the organizations collaborate, and so everyone brings their best to these partnerships, and all kinds of interesting chemistry happens then.
Yeah.
The exhibit at Site explores how a new generation of artists is interfacing with history to try to understand history and make it relevant today. And so I immediately thought of Brett's film, Chicago 10, which is, you know, a guy our age who went back and saw that the 1968 riots, protests in Chicago
at the Democratic National Convention
had a lot of relevance to what was going on today. Of course, that was 3 years ago before the Occupy movement. And the film is even more relevant today.
I rewatched it a couple of nights ago in hopes that we would be able to talk to the filmmaker again, and unfortunately he's on location and we couldn't get him on the Radio Cafe. But it's fascinating to watch a movie about the youth movements, the youth uprisings in 1968, and see how they're similar to what's going on in the Occupy movement today, and see how they're different. And one thing that really struck me that's different, and I wanted to talk to the filmmaker about this, but let's talk about that, is that it seems that today we are much more polite and cooperative, and we are not calling the police dirty names, and we don't think that the police, I mean, I'm not in the Occupy movement, but we, the collective, are not setting up an us and them, we're good and they're bad. It's just like saying, they just seem to be saying, we've got some really big problems in our society and we have to stand up for what's right and let's all do it together.
I think the science of protest has evolved, as the science of resisting protest has evolved. And I'm not an expert on this, but I know that people study how to effectively create protest movements. And there's camps for it, and there's literature about it. And so people are understanding how to make the biggest impact. And peaceably and forcefully and using a strong, marketing edge is really important. And I think Occupy has been brilliant that way. And watching Abby Hoffman and Allen Ginsberg and the others who were depicted in Chicago 10, it's really interesting to see how they approached this, this battle for the American soul. It is completely different in some ways than what happened in 1960, that's happening now in Occupy. But it's also, at its soul, the same battle.
The same battle is, why should we fight needless wars and waste our resources when so many people here are in deep, terrible trouble?
Why are a very small portion of the population able to make decisions for the rest of us? And that's the story of the mass media, too. That's why KSFR and the nonprofits and organizations in Santa Fe are so important, because they're really, it's a power to the people movement. What we do, what we all do together is make it local. We make it community-based. We concentrate power at a local level rather than having these stories told to us from the outside.
428-1393 is the number to make your contribution. And we've got some thanks, and we want to see where we're at and how far we've gotten. 428-1393. Get that phone ringing, and let's check in with Mary Lynn in the control room.
Yes, indeed, we have some thanks, and we're more than halfway to your goal, Mary Charlotte.
Our $1,500 goal? Okay, let's go for
it. We're more than halfway there. We're getting close to the $1,000 mark. But thank you, Jane.
Thank you, Jane.
Nicholas Brown.
Yay.
David Noble.
Wonderful.
Glenn.
Yes.
Diane Perrin, who is the director of the Santa Fe Film Festival, wants to thank you, Mary Charlotte, especially for all the support that you give to the arts in Santa Fe.
Well, thank you. And Diane, I'm going to be calling you because I wanted to find out more about how the film festival went. The Santa Fe Film Festival, back stronger than ever this year, and a wonderful festival it was. Saw some movies that we never would have seen otherwise, in the vein of what we're talking about here with Jason Silverman. Thank you all so much for calling, and let us reach our $1,500 goal this hour by calling 428-1393, 428-1393. Let's talk about some of the other movies that you have at the CCA right now.
Sure, we've got Melancholia playing, have you seen Melancholia yet?
I haven't seen it yet.
You're going to love it.
Who's it by?
It's Lars von Trier.
Lars von Trier.
Of your favorite filmmakers,
He's one of my
I know.
Favorite filmmakers.
And this is one of his most elegant, powerful films. And it's actually, it's relatively accessible for a Lars von Trier film. And it tells the story of Kirsten Dunst, who's suffering from, she has visions, and she's suffering from melancholia or depression, which von Trier was crippled by for years. And it has a science fiction kind of element where a planet is approaching planet Earth, a planet called Melancholia, and people are worried that it's the end of times.
Ah.
Fantastic film.
Very, very interesting. And so if you call and get your CCA movie passes, you can go see that movie, too.
Okay, we're playing the Eames movie about Ray and Charles Eames, which is also just a fantastic piece. And you can see how these two visionaries shaped the American style. And it's amazing, and it's been very popular.
Tell us more about them and their work.
Charles Eames is a designer and architect. Ray Eames is a painter. And they created the Eames Studio, which, did everything. They made movies, they made furniture, they designed buildings, they did a little bit of everything, and they really, their look and their style, they thought about the masses. It was not elitist creations. So they thought heavily about form and function, and it's fun, too. There's all this incredible archival footage that tells the story. So it's a glorious little piece.
I love it when you find out that something that you took for granted, which was the kind of chair that you've been sitting in your whole life, was actually invented by
someone super mega
famous and important and actually shaped the way you see furniture.
And there's a story behind it all, and that's amazing, the power for humans to imagine and create is a really powerful impulse, and that's what we celebrate with KSFR as well.
You're so good. You're always bringing it back to
exactly,
KSFR.
Exactly, yeah, right.
The KSFR Fund Drive, 428-1393. We're going for a $1,500 goal this hour. We'd love to reach it. We try to make it easy for you by giving away movie pass. Now, let's talk just for a second about the sustaining membership, which we've, I think a couple of people have called and done that. If you give, for example, $15 a month, you sign up for a monthly payment, then it will be withdrawn very safely and encryptedly and everything from your credit card or, I guess, bank account, however that works. They'll tell you on the telephone, 428-1393. But then for a very small little deficit per month in your account, you can make a real significant contribution to KSFR. You get 100, 200, 300 people giving sustaining memberships, and it starts to make a big difference. We don't have to come to you as often on the air, but rather you have made that commitment to us as we make this commitment to coming to you every day. I'm here 5 days a week. Bill Dupuy and Dan Garrity and the KSFR news team are here every day. And the many, many volunteer producers and DJs and interviewers who make this station possible and who make this station strong, we all do it as a labor of love. We all do it as a kind of commitment to the public airwaves and to really getting good information and great fun and the kind of music that you don't hear on commercial stations, getting it all out there. 428-1393. Oh, I just got an email. One of these messages that we have passed the $1,000 mark. There's more people on the phone. The phones are ringing. 428-1393 is the number. Let's reach our $1,500 mark. We've got exactly 10 minutes left in which to do that. The news is going to come at about 9 o'clock. And was there one more movie that you had?
Or
Into
the Abyss.
Into the Abyss.
Werner Herzog. Oh, Into the Abyss, Werner Herzog's spent time with the families of a murder victim and the murderer who's on death row. And it's a really devastating film, but beautiful, about life and death, really. It's less about the politics of capital punishment, which is what we mostly hear about, and more about the humanity involved and the wastefulness and the tragedy that is involved. And, of course, it's got the Werner Herzog touch, and he's really hit his stride in recent years, one great film after another.
Indeed. You had some other movies. Did he do the Antarctica movie?
Encounters at the End of the World.
Yeah.
Which was produced by Andrea Medic, who's our local
hero.
Who
lives here in Santa Fe, who's brilliant.
Yeah. We didn't show Grizzly Man, unfortunately, but another great film. And Cave of Forgotten Dreams, which played at the Vargas, another great movie theater. So he's on a real roll.
That's extraordinary. So Into the Abyss, have people been going to see it? Sometimes
no.
I think that people don't want to see movies like that because they're a downer, the whole idea of murder and the death penalty and that kind of thing.
Well, I sent a note to the distributor. I said, I guess the whole death penalty holiday film concept isn't working well. But it doesn't matter because we don't make our decisions based solely on box office revenue. If we see a great film, we play it. That's the way we do business.
428-1393. We are very close. I'm getting another note here on my chat that we are getting very close to the $1,500 mark. So let's keep it coming. Keep the phones ringing. 428-1393. 428-1393. I think one of the things, I was talking to a journalist the other day who was talking about the ever-growing disconnect between what the people know and what the politicians say. And I was thinking that probably the greatest example of that was Soviet Russia. So everybody knew what was really going on, and what you saw in the Soviet news agency was pure propaganda. And when you start to, and what the politicians were saying was pure propaganda. And so when you start to have that, you know that there's something wrong with your democracy, and you know that there's something wrong with your media. And when your media are selling out to the people at the top who make the decisions, as opposed to the 99% who are actually living the results of those decisions, you've got a problem. And unfortunately, Very unfortunately, that's the problem we have in the United States right now.
I'm looking at the Onion that you picked up, the best of the year, and one of the headlines is, Congress gets in 12 solid hours of gridlocking before calling it a day. And of course, with the 9% approval rating, you know that America has lost faith in its political system.
9% approval rating.
And it's a shame because this is a product of misinformation, like you're saying, and local independent media gives us. You have to take all of your media with a grain of salt, including KSFR, but it gives us a different window into how things work, and that's essential. If we're going to understand how this world works and how to make positive change, we're going to need to think about the stories that we're being told. And I really appreciate, the fact that we can hear different kinds of stories every day here in different forms from KSFR, from other independent media, from The Reporter, from the Santa Fe New Mexican, from KUNM, all of it. Gives us a picture of how the world works that's different from what we'd hear from CNN or Fox News.
428-1393. We've got 5 minutes left to reach and surpass our $1,500 mark. We're going to get an update from the control room in just about 5 minutes. 428-1393. So, three motivations. One, KSFR is the station you listen to and you really need to support it. And we would just be so happy if you would support it because we want to keep on going. Two, it's an end-of-year tax deduction. And three, which should really be one, you get the CCA movie passes.
I want to ask you a question because you always ask everyone else questions.
Uh-oh.
So you got to be put on the spot.
Uh-oh.
So I know you're not a morning person.
I'm not a morning person.
But you get up and you come in and do this.
That's
and
true.
Tell me why that you're so motivated to do what you do every day because it's not an easy job.
Why do I do it? Because it's endlessly fascinating. And I feel like having this opportunity to bring you everything under the sun, whether it be politics or science or arts or movies or music or local people or international people or what's happening at Collected Works Bookstore or whatever, all of those things are just so interesting, and I figure if they're interesting to me, they might be interesting to the listeners. And having that variety is important. And I think I said this before the last time, but when you live in especially a big city, I don't find this so much in Santa Fe. People want to put you in a slot, like, oh, that person is an athlete, and then they just think of you in the athlete box. Or that person is a business person. They think of you in the business person box. But the fact is that all of us are really multidimensional people, and we have really different interests in things that don't seem to go together. We might be both a business person and really interested in alternative healthcare and art and animals all at the same time. And I feel like I certainly am that way myself, and so if you do a radio program that represents all of those different things, people can find themselves in multiple places and multiple identities. That's the long answer.
It's a great answer. I think the diversity and the range of subject matter and the range of approach that KSFR brings is incredible. It's really an incredible gift to Santa Fe to have an outlet like this here. And the commitment of the people who do it really should be honored. And it would be great if the listeners would honor it by pulling out their checkbooks and writing a small or medium or even large check and keeping KSFR strong and helping them see into the future because we want the station to be around forever.
428-1393, or make a sustaining membership of X dollars per month. I'm not sure what the minimum is, but it's pretty low. I think there's some minimum that is required to just have it be worth it to do that monthly processing, which is done by our wonderful KSFR staff and Linda Highhill. 428-1393 is the number, and there's still some passes left for the CCA. And we're getting close to 9 o'clock. So, Mary Lynn, what's going on back in the control room?
The phones are still ringing in there, although there are some people that are waiting. So, waiting to answer a phone. So, many can answer, but I have several thank yous.
Yay.
David and Deborah.
Thank you.
Janet Peacock, who loves you, Mary Charlotte, and the radio cafe and classical music, so she's an avid listener.
Thank you.
And then Anna Dura.
Thank you very much.
Linda.
Thank you, Linda.
Joanne Balzer.
Oh, thank you,
and
Joanne.
She contributed in honor of you, especially Mary Charlotte.
Thank you so much.
And, of course, there are the Anonymice.
Ah, the Anonymice. Yes, yes. 428-1393. It's 9 o'clock, so it's time to go. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Jason Silverman, filmmaker, film curator at the CCA, the Center for Contemporary Arts. And it's just been great having you here, Jason. Thank you so much.
It's a great honor and pleasure. Please give all day today.
428. I'm going to give the number a couple more times. 428-1393. 428-1393. We have, I think we've reached our goal, but just keep on calling.
You did indeed.
Yay. As the day goes by, keep calling.